Well, we are joined on the phone this morning by a representative of the Senior Health Insurance Information Program. Patty Price joins us this morning, and we're going to talk a little bit about, Medicare and fraud. Good morning, Patty.
Good morning, Jim. Nice to be with you.
Absolutely. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it very much. You know, when we hear things like Medicare and fraud, we oftentimes think about the damage and the dangers to the taxpayer in general. There's a lot of wasted money in the government systems because of fraud and these types of things. But it really kind of trickles back down to the individual, doesn't it?
That's true. It does. It does. Because you're looking at them and their own Medicare information and their Medicare number, sure.
Is this a common occurrence? Does this happen a lot?
You know, I don't know what the frequency, but there's, you know, if you look at the national level, it's in the millions, you know, of dollars that fraud occurs with Medicare. But I do think that it is people being watching carefully, you know, being noticing and paying attention to the notices that they get from Medicare. And paying attention to see if they match up with the services that they have received.
Well, now, medicine can be very confusing to those of us who don't have a degree in it. So even though we're the ones who maybe received the care, and sure, the doctors and nurses and the healthcare professionals all explained it to us, often we don't remember every last detail. So how do we make sure we understand all this and we know that everything that's listed on the statements was actually something that we took advantage of?
Mostly on the statements, what you're going to see is a date of service and then a provider that's submitting a bill for that service. And so just, you know, the simple matter of, you know, noting on a calendar that you went to, you know, a doctor on a certain date, and then when you get that Medicare summary notice, you know, matching that up with the fact that, oh, yes, I did go to a doctor on a certain date. I don't think we have to totally understand all the complexities of medicine. And the other thing is if you do have some concerns about charges that you get on a statement, particularly I think sometimes when people have x-rays or lab tests, some of those get sent, you know, to another site, you know, the doctor that ordered it. It may not be that doctor's name that's submitting the charge. And a simple call to the doctor's office where you who ordered the services to just kind of clarify for you if something doesn't look right. They may be able to explain that, oh, that's the lab that we use to do the lab work, and that's a legitimate charge.
We shouldn't always just jump to conclusions.
Right. Absolutely. I think it's okay, to be cautious, but then again, not just jumping to the conclusion immediately that it is fraud, but checking out with that provider. And also, if you feel like you've been billed for something incorrectly, it could just be a simple error that occurred, you know, that the provider, everything's done by numbers and codes, and we're human, and, you know, it can be very easy to enter something wrong. So sometimes you can get that corrected very quickly by just making a quick call to your local doctor or whoever provided the service to you.
Well, and as we mentioned up front, too, it is very difficult sometimes to sift through all the different codings and things that might be listed on there. We just don't understand. Is there anywhere we can get help for that?
Well, one of the things that our counselors do is that they're, you know, more than happy to help somebody sort through their claims. If they have claims questions, whether you feel something's billed incorrectly, you know, after you've called the provider and you're kind of wondering if this might be a fraudulent thing, or if you had a claim denied and you don't understand, our counselors will be more than happy to sit down and talk to people and look things over and see if it's something we should, you know, probe into further. And if it does look like fraud to us, then we will be very quick to report that to the appropriate authorities that investigate fraud for Medicare.
Now, when we think about Medicare and these types of billing issues and things, we think about the medical care and services that we provide. Does this also apply to, for example, the medications that we might be using?
Oh, sure. I mean, right now, you know, Medicare now covers prescriptions through the Medicare Part D program, and so individuals are getting explanations of benefits that are coming not only from Medicare drug plans, but they could be enrolled in a Medicare Advantage plan. And so, making sure that it looks like, you know, all their prescriptions are listed on there that they're billed for, again, they should be getting a statement on that every month.
Patty, do you see through your office, through the Senior Health Insurance Information Program and your volunteers, more confusion with regard to this because of so many changes, for example, year to year in the different supplement plans and things?
I think that Medicare, I've been dealing with Medicare for over 20 years, and I do think it's become, I think it is more confusing. There's so much more to it. Back in the day, it used to be Medicare and a supplement, and, you know, you pick that supplement once, and now we do annual checkups with people where we really want them to look at those drug plans every year because plans are changing what they cover. People can find themselves ending up in plans that aren't covering their drugs. Last year they did, this year they don't, and so and they can change every year. And so that adds a complexity to the Medicare program that wasn't there before.
Mm-hmm. Is there someone in their corner if they notice something and they don't, maybe they do make the call after they notice something on the bill and they just don't feel that they're getting where they need to go with this issue? Is there someone that they can help them with that?
Yes. I mean, I think that what we consider our program to be is an advocate for that Medicare beneficiary because we want to try to help you. If we're not the place that can get the answer, we will try to get you where you need to go to get that answer. You can call our office or you can call 1-800-MEDICARE. But there are people out there to help people with these types of issues. And we'd like to think, I know that we've got SHIP counselors all across the state. And in Atlantic, we've got a SHIP sponsor. So, I mean, there's a place that they can call, and if they call our 800 number, we can get them probably to a more local place, particularly when you want to bring those claims in. I think sometimes over the phone, it's hard to talk to people about your own personal issues, and if you can sit across the table from someone and lay those papers out that you're confused with, it's a lot easier for us to help you and easier for you to have someone sit there and explain it to you.
And I assume that that's probably a service that maybe folks don't realize necessarily. They might look at the Senior Health Insurance Information Program as being a free volunteer service where they can help you decide what plan to choose, but
right.
But they probably figure that's where the service ends.
Right. No, we can help people with reviewing their claims, understanding their claims, helping people to appeal their claims when they are feeling that they should be covered and they're not covered. There's a whole 5-tier appeal process that they can go through. So, trying to help that person. Sometimes, and this happens a lot, I think we don't sometimes get the right information or the right answers because we don't know the right questions to ask. And I think one thing that our program can do, we can help you to know how to ask the questions so that you can get the right answers.
No, I'm sure.
And that helps a lot. That helps a lot.
A little off topic, I guess, but it would be helpful too. Where do you find your volunteers? They come from all over.
We have volunteers from all walks of life. They can be retired teachers, engineers, homemakers. We've got retired college professors, doctors, people who just really, I think they have an interest in having a better understanding of Medicare, and they like to problem solve and help people. It's a very rewarding. I just had a situation this week where we helped somebody who's been trying to get a claim resolved that was over $2,000, and been working on it a very long time, and it's a very rewarding feeling to, you know, help them make their way through the process and to get that accomplished.
Well, you can sometimes struggle through the mounds of paperwork and,
as
I say,
right.
The coding and all these other things that we don't necessarily understand that might be staring us in the face. It's nice to get a seasoned eye to take a look at that.
That's correct. That's
very good.
Correct.
And it's always, of course, confidential, free, and they're all volunteers. And as Patty mentioned up front, too, we do have volunteers here in this area, too. By calling through the Cass County Memorial Hospital, you can find out who those volunteers are and maybe set up an appointment at some point to help you through a rough spot or help you understand something maybe that you're not quite sure about. Very good. And all they have to do is make a phone call, right?
That's correct.
Great. Well, Patty, thanks a lot for your time today. Appreciate that. It's nice to kind of work our way through the mud sometimes.
Yes, thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you today.